listening to Swimming World Radio. I'm your host, Brent Rutemeller, and today we're talking with Stu Isaac, Speedo USA's Vice President for Team Sales and Marketing, about Speedo's FS Pro swimsuit just released in the marketplace. More importantly, we'd like to get his reaction to the shocking results produced by Michael Phelps and Natalie Coughlin wearing the Speedo FS Pro in competition for the first time this past weekend at the Missouri Grand Prix. Thanks for joining us today, Stu.
My pleasure.
I guess we should open up with congratulations. First, Speedo shows the world its newest race wear, and then Michael Phelps slips on his FS Pro for his first competition and goes out and sets a world record in the 200-meter butterfly.
Thank you. That was a surprise to all of us, Michael included.
Well, that has to be a bit chilling for a veteran marketing man like yourself.
Well, you know, you never know quite what's going to happen when you really get the final production version in the water. We've released the suit. We knew there was a lot of interest by the athletes. Testing of the prototype really has been going on in practice and even in an occasional meet since July. But when you really get to the final version, and a lot of swimmers are wearing it, you really see the impact. And the success here was actually better than we had hoped.
So, Stu, tell us a little bit about the suit.
The new Speedo FS Pro is a high-density microfiber woven fabric. What that means is that we were able to capture a real lightness in the fabric without giving up the compression and the hydrodynamic impact of a fast skin. There have been light suits in the market before, and athletes often like that feel, but they've never offered the compression, which can give you physiological and biomechanical advantages of previous elite suits like the fast skin. If you can do that without giving up the hydrodynamic drag resistance and still have the best of both worlds with the light suit, then you've got a great hit, and that's what we tried to accomplish in the FS Pro.
Well, let's talk a little bit about compression. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say compression, you're talking about, in layman's terms, a very, very tight suit.
Correct, and it's not tight in the sense that you really have to squeeze into it, and it doesn't stretch and it's constricting, but tight that when you're into it, it can feel comfortable, and yet the power of the fabric, the stretch, holds you in place. So it's not something that restricts motion, but it offers a firmness throughout your body, which is critical to performance.
And in the past, you said that to get to that compression, you gave up light.
Correct.
It was a heavier suit, and you've been able to develop a weave that allows best of both worlds.
Right. The FS2 is a knit fabric with a little heavier material that you needed, a heavier fiber that gave you that what we call power in the fabric, that compression that held the muscles in place, held your body together and in place, increased core stability. There weren't any existing light fabrics out there that were also water repellent that we could weave to get that kind of compression. And finally, we found a factory that could make a fabric to our specifications. And this is what we came up with.
So this factory is sort of like ground zero. No one knows about it, where it's at. And it's...
Well, actually, it's a fabric out of Italy. The female swimmers would be glad to know they're wearing a designer Italian fabric in the suit. But it really, it was waiting to find someone who could make it to our specifications. It is by far the lightest, finest fiber out there in the market that still can give you compression to this extent.
So let's get back to compression a little bit. So is compression the latest technology? Or that when you talk about compression, how does it help biomechanically? How does it help with avoiding drag and streamline so important in swimming?
Research has shown for many years that compression can help athletic performance. What it does is it keeps the muscles in place. What it does is it, after a muscle contracts, the muscle vibrates, and that dissipates extra energy. Compression will help the muscle return to its relaxed state, dissipate less energy, so you are much more efficient on every contraction of the muscle. It also improves the blood circulation through the body. And thirdly, compression in the right parts of the body can help shape your body position. It can help your core stability, keep you firm in your body throughout the race, but also, just kind of hold the body into a more streamlined position. So there are physiological and there are biomechanical advantages to compression.
So when you talk about the muscle returning back to a static state and without the compression, it sort of vibrates. Are you saying then that the compression technology that you built in the suit delays fatigue in the swimmers?
That's a very good way to put it. It delays fatigue. Really, it's related to how much energy is used by the muscle. So if you're more economical in your use of energy, you'll tire more slowly.
And, you know, when you're dealing with drag, form drag is another type of drag. You got form drag, you got restrictive drag, you've got wave drag. And so by reshaping the body or allowing the body to, you know, to become compressed in certain areas, you're also, avoiding form drag. Is that what you're saying also here?
You're certainly decreasing the resistance created by form drag. The human body is not a very aerodynamic or hydrodynamic shape. So although I have to admit, the way these athletes, the shape the elite athletes are in now, I find that the impact on form drag helps master swimmers a little bit more than maybe our elite world championship members.
So, Stu, you're saying that even those out-of-shape older swimmers still have hope with the FS Pro, they can really get back into physically looking in shape here?
That's right. Well, that's one of the big advantages of the Fastskin, too. You know, the FS Pro is similar in characteristics to the FS2. The FS2 also had this kind of compression technology, but unfortunately we had to do it with a heavier fabric that we could not create the same water repellency or light feeling as the FS Pro.
Now, when you mentioned improving vascular flow, how is that being done with the compression technology?
It's just like some of the older people that might wear support hose to help the venous return through the legs. It just helps with that compression, just push the blood back to the heart. It's more on the return flow, and that does help the swimmer overall physiologically.
Now, Stu, you mentioned repellents,
mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of people out there who may think suits are made to be more buoyant. And what's the difference between being a repellent material and versus a buoyant material?
Well, buoyancy comes from a fabric that has a lower specific gravity than water, and that can come from a hollow fiber that has air inside, or a way to trap air, or just a material that has more buoyancy than the water itself. That is illegal. And these suits are all neutrally buoyant. You can put it in the water and it won't float to the surface. It won't sink. It's just neutrally buoyant. Swimmers, though, what they tell you when they try suits like this is that they feel higher in the water. That is coming more from lift than buoyancy. So it's often something I stress, that don't confuse buoyancy with riding high in the water. A speedboat is not buoyant as such. The faster it goes, the higher it rides in the water. And that's like a swimmer. And the aerodynamic qualities of the fabric that provide that drag resistance are what helps give the swimmer lift if he's in the right body position or is going faster and faster. You know, when you get that very great, easy flow of water on the bottom side of the body, you're really just planing up almost like a little bit like a surfboard. Also, you have, with it being light, you have a good sense in the legs. Many swimmers feel that their legs feel lighter during the race, which really can help, particularly at the end of the race when you need your legs to kick in a little bit more for that finish.
What did Michael Phelps say when he set his world record? Did you have a chance to talk with him and give a reaction?
I did, and there were two firsts for him in this race. It was the first time he went from a knee skin to a leg skin. In other words, the suit that goes, he always in the 205 wore the suit that went from waist to knees. And this time he wore one all the way to the ankles because he liked the feel of it. And then you add the FS Pro, and it even surprised him. He finished his race and he couldn't quite read the clock with his goggles on. And he thought he'd gone about 155, but he said, if I went 155, people wouldn't be cheering like this. So he takes his goggles off, looks up there, and sees his world record, and he says he was shocked. He was really, really excited about the race. But what he talked about on the suit was that, especially coming off the walls, he said he felt like he was shot out of a cannon. He could really feel it when he was in that tight, streamlined position and doing his kicks off the wall. He just felt like he was exploding off the wall, which is very exciting. Because, Michael, you know, when you get to a swimmer of that level, they have such a sense of feel and body presence. You know, they can feel those kind of changes.
So here you are in Missouri, you know, where, you know, it's not a major competition. People aren't really shaved nor taper for that. And you're producing these type of results. Look at Natalie Coughlin. She sets the U.S. Open record in the 200 free, you know, Tara Kirk. So were there other reactions out there from the other people who are Speedo swimmers?
Well, you know, when we look at this, one of our goals at this meet, because we know that with Melbourne coming up, it was very important to have as many swimmers as possible wear the suit in competition before they have the opportunity to wear it in Melbourne at the FINA World Championships. Over the last 10 days, I've spent a day at the Southeast Conference swim meet, a day at the Pac-10s, doing the same thing, getting these new production versions of the FS Pro on swimmers in preparation. So we always expect Michael and Natalie to go fast. But the exciting part was being at all those meets and seeing Carolyn Joyce and Dana Vollmer, and at this meet, Kim Vandenberg and Tara Kirk, Margaret Holzer, Peter Vanderkate, everybody that was swimming in it either had lifetime bests or in-season bests. And their coaches were just amazed because these swimmers are all in the heart of heavy workout, just beginning their final preparations for Melbourne. That's what was exciting. And as that happened, the word spread. Word from SEC got to the Pac-10s. Word from those two meets filtered to the swimmers who were coming here to the Grand Prix in Missouri. So it just began to mount. And as people tried it, you could see the confidence level just mounted and mounted. And when that kind of confidence rises, the swimmers, it just feeds on itself. The swimmers do better and better. To see Kim Vandenberg go lifetime best in the 100 fly, the 200 fly, first time under a minute in the 100 fly, and she goes 59.09. Lifetime best in the 100 and 200 freestyle. And then Margaret Holzer going back-to-back lifetime best within 15 minutes in the 100 fly and the 100 back. Incredible performances. One of the real keys is that we're seeing swimmers, now that the suit feels so light, trying more coverage. Katie Hoff went from her traditional record breaker, and for the first time she wore the record breaker to the knee. As I said, Michael Phelps going from the jammer to the leg skin.
How many versions do you have of the suit out there?
We have three in men, three in women. In the women, we have the record breaker knee skin, the record breaker leg skin, and the high neck body skin. And in the men, we have the jammer, the leg skin, and the high neck body skin.
What do you say to those critics out there who say that it's never the suit, it's the person?
Well, as a former coach myself, I always stress that the suit will never replace the hard work, never replace the training and the expertise of a professional coach. If a parent of a 10-year-old comes up to me and says, "What do you think? Should I spend $200 on one of these new suits for my 10-year-old? I say, spend that $200 on better coaching and some more stroke technique work. When you get, though, to the elite level, people competing at state championship level or sectional championships or junior nationals, senior nationals, you have a whole bunch of swimmers that have put the time in, received the great coaching. This can just be the icing on the cake. This is that last step, and it does not have its ultimate impact unless you've done all the work behind it.
Now, Stu, you've been with Speedo for a long time, close to 25 years.
Right.
Give our listeners a brief history of the swimwear from the cotton to the nylon, the paper, Lycra, where we are today, and maybe a little glimpse into the future.
The history of swimwear goes way back in terms of changes in styles from the days that even legally the women had to cover up almost their entire body. The first Speedo was designed in 1927. It really grew out of some wool technology. Speedo originally made tents and underwear in Australia. It went from that wool suit to a silk suit. You saw the silk in the late 20s, early 30s. A Swedish swimmer named Arne Borgström won the first medal in a Speedo in the 1932 Olympics in a silk suit. Then gradually, silk went into a kind of a silk-cotton blend, but then it went into nylon. And in 1956, at the Olympics in Melbourne, Speedo introduced the first tricot nylon suit. The Australians dominated swimming in their home waters in Melbourne, but but it really created a bit of a revolution.
Was that more due to the weight reduction of it?
It was due to the weight reduction. It didn't absorb as much water. And the suits got a little briefer at that time also.
And where did it go from there?
It went from those nylon suits in 56 to no real breakthrough until 1973 at the World Championships in Yugoslavia, where the first Lycra suits were introduced. This was the first true stretch fabric that created a much more form-fitting garment.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting because at the U.S. Indoor Nationals in 1974, which is really the first nationals that Speedo introduced the suit in the U.S., every single women's American record was broken in that national championship. And
wow.
I think that's still the only time in history that happened. So from 1973 on through probably mid-80s, that Lycra suit, knit Lycra suit, was the norm. In the 80s, they were starting to experiment more with microfibers. The forerunner of the FS Pro was first introduced in the 80s, and it was a very rudimentary microfiber woven, but it absorbed water still. It wasn't as water repellent as the current suits, but it didn't have compression. It was almost, you know, it was see-through, it had the stretch. You got it tight-fitting because you just squeezed into it, and they were very constricting, and they could almost cut into your skin. That was paper suits. Back then, the paper suit relied upon, and the Lycra suits relied upon reducing drag by how tightly they fit.
Mm-hmm.
Gradually, as more research was done, you found out that you could modify the flow of the body over the water. You could learn things from aerodynamic science and naval architecture and figure out how you could break up the flow and the boundary layer to reduce that drag. And that's when you saw the next generation, the S2000 in Barcelona in 1992, where you had the first try at a little bit of a bodysuit. But then the Aquablade is one that had stripes on it that modified the flow of water. That was 96 in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there we went into the Fastskin, a suit with ridges and these dermal denticles that mimic the shark skin that really changed the flow of the body, and it added compression. And Fastskin and its son of Fastskin, FS2, in 2004 were really the state-of-the-art up until this breakthrough with FS Pro.
Now, before you take a glimpse into the future, can you touch on some of the important people and the scientists, and perhaps you have the flume in New Zealand? Where does all your research take place and the people involved with this?
One of the strengths of the Speedo Aqualab team, which is where we do this research, is that it is such an international effort. We've learned in the past that if we put the best minds in the world from different areas of science together, we can create these kind of breakthroughs. The project is led by a project director out of the United Kingdom, out of Great Britain. But we have an aerodynamicist, Barry Bixler, from Phoenix area, who is our computational fluid dynamics expert. He's the guy that really monitors a lot of the testing and creates the computer simulations of water flow around the body that are at the core of a lot of our research. We then have Rick Sharp, a great physiologist in the U.S. who is with USA Swimming for a long time. We also have biomechanists from Australia. We do a lot of the testing in terms of biomechanics and physiology at the new Aquatic Research Center at the Australia Institute of Sport in Canberra, Australia. Then we do a lot of our wind tunnel testing at a couple different wind tunnels around the country, around the world, actually. But the real test is when we get it in the flume, which we use in New Zealand. It's at the University of Otago, which is Dunedin, New Zealand. We think it's the best flume in the world because of its size, because of its consistency, and the research team there. So it truly is a global effort. When we combine it then with our garment engineers in key markets like Britain and Australia and the U.S., and the ability to test with athletes and coaches, we have a great team.
Well,
I want to stress the role of the athletes and the coaches. Part of what makes a suit fast is psychology, and the ability to involve the athletes and their elite coaches in every step of the way to understand how we're getting there, what problems we're trying to address, is critical in the athletes really understanding and accepting the suit.
Well, this must be an exciting time for the swimming in general, and especially Speedo. So let's take a little glimpse into the future. Where's it going?
Sometimes people look at Speedo and their development thinking that, okay, well, it's coming up in the Olympics, time for a new suit, marketing effort, a lot of hype. But this FS Pro is really an example that this research is continually ongoing. You're continually trying to find not only better ways to make a swimsuit that is better for the swimmers, but we're putting a lot of research into training aids, into caps, into goggles, to really not just reduce drag, but to also make the swimmer better. And you're going to see more breakthroughs in those areas. We have launched over the last year a goggle called the Hydroline Goggle, and we're coming out with a new version of it called the Hydrofairing, which, because of its angled lens, allows the swimmer to see forward in the water during competition without lifting their head. And what this does is help the swimmer maintain proper body position through the race, and not create that extra drag when you have to look up going into a flip turn, or when you have to lift your head too high when you're breathing on breaststroke or butterfly. So these kind of things are really a whole effort under the Speedo Aqualab to bring research to all aspects of swimming, training, goggles, caps, swimsuits. As it relates to where the swimsuit's going, we're pretty far along in some very exciting new projects that are going to take, I think, the suit to the next level, building on the stuff we've done in the past with FS2 and FS Pro. So we're excited about the prospects going ahead to Beijing.
So who has access to this FS Pro right now?
FINA asks that Speedo make any suit available as part of the approval process, that any athlete in a major championship can get the suit. But, you know, we'll have them on sale there, but it's pretty expensive. So what really happens is that the Speedo-sponsored teams will have access to the suit in Melbourne. Many of the teams have sponsorships through their Olympic committee where they have to wear other brands, and I doubt that those sponsorship agreements are going to disappear. So we expect probably 60 to 65% of the swimmers at the World Championships will have access to the suit, and that will include the big swimming countries like Australia, the U.S., Sweden, Britain, so the Netherlands. So there'll be quite a few of the top teams in Speedo, but not all of them.
Well, Stu, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. We'll be watching the Speedo athletes as they step up to the blocks in Melbourne for the World Championships.
We'll keep you posted.
Well, for now, this is Brent Rutemiller for Swimming World Radio, reporting on swimming from around the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hate it.